Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the July 16th Behind Our Eyes book launch. I'm your host, Annie Chipetta, and the book launch chair. And tonight we have a special guest with us, Marinella Ortiz, and she's going to be telling us about her book, A Lovely Sleep. Welcome, Marinella. Why don't you take it away?
Hello, everybody. I am Marinella. I'm the writer of A Lovely Sleep and the Backwards Fairy Tale series. I've been writing the series for a few years now, and A Lovely Sleep is the third entry. When I'm not writing, I'm usually teaching assistive technology since it does help me out when it comes to writing my books when I'm using my Windows computer. So that's basically what I have about myself in a nutshell.
All righty. So you mentioned, this is Annie again, you mentioned when you use Windows. So are you a dual platform user? Do you use Windows and a Mac or iOS? I'm curious.
I'm actually multi-platform. I use Windows, I use a Mac, I also use a Chromebook. I use iOS, Android. Also, Fire OS, which is the Amazon platform for their mobile devices. So I'm pretty much all over the place when it comes to technology because I like to discover what's new out there.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. Has there any been anything that you just dislike that you feel that's not up to what the either the company or the creator said it would be?
That is a good question. I would have to say there are times when I'm writing a book or if I'm writing a blog post on my Windows computer, sometimes spell check likes to take its own ideas and try to put it into what I wrote. Like, for instance, if you were to read Rose Thorns of Love, it sometimes, instead of putting the word said, it wanted to put spoke, like the character spoke. And I'm like, that's not supposed to be there. And it was kind of annoying when it came to trying to correct those mistakes. I mean, when I wrote A Lovely Sleep, I was like, maybe I should have beta readers, give some feedback to make it more smoother. And that worked out a little bit more, even though I still use the spell check to, make sure I spell some things right.
Yeah, no, I have had the same issues with my own manuscripts, and especially like when you go back and you narrate them, and like you're like, that's not what I wrote, because the Kindle book or the narration script will be different. You'd be like, no, I gotta go back and check. And it's
I
just, it's
mean,
weird, right? It's like I didn't say that, I didn't write that.
For instance, in A Lovely Sleep, towards the end, I kind of accidentally had spell check put Sydney instead of, what was it, Joel, to marry the evil Princess Penelope. And I'm like, great, it screwed up for the rest of the versions, but I've corrected it for the audible version so the producer would not be like, huh?
I've had that happen to me too. So it sounds like you're an experienced author, and you've had tell us about Lovely Sleep is book number three. So go a little bit before that and tell us about book number one and how you got the idea and how it progressed.
But interesting part, this was like a few years back. I think I was still in my bachelor's degree days. Like, I was watching something on Disney Channel because I'm one of those people that like to watch movies on TV. And this was before we got our Fire Sticks as well. I was like, I wonder what would happen if the princess, not the princess, the prince went to sleep instead of the princess in Sleeping Beauty. And I started writing it a little bit, and I called it Backwards Fairy Tale before coming up with the series itself.
Right.
And I was going through, coming up with the ideas, and I kind of felt like the story was kind of awkward. And this was like my first book without, writing papers, since being in college at the time, it's one of those things you have to write a lot of papers for different subjects. And I'm like, let me start from the beginning, but let me start with Cinderella. And so Love Found in Cinders kind of came to be. And when I developed Sydney, which he's the main character, which is our Cinderella character, I thought, well, they didn't really mention the cinders part except for she slept near a hearth, but what happens if they got too close and kind of got burned by it? And I kind of came up with the burn scar on his face. And it kind of came,
Oh.
yeah, it kind of became part of the whole entire Love Found in Cinders idea. And later on, instead of the slipper, he wears a mask to kind of hide his identity at the ball. Kind of like how Cinderella's
Okay. Yeah,
with the
yeah.
slipper. And well, I wasn't expecting to write a sequel until one of the scam publishers contacted me and was like, are you going to write a sequel? I'm like, I don't know. And then Rose Thorns kind of came to mind, which was the Beauty and the Beast
Right.
story. And I came up with the ideas like the rose tattoo being the rose underneath the glass, and it has to fade when they fall in love, like the brother and sister had to fall in love. And of course, the mirror would show their human selves when they're the beast halves, in a way. So they're kind of looking at themselves, longing to be human again. And they have to fall in love with their significant others, and that's how I came up with Michelle and Gisela. And finally, A Lovely Sleep, which is the Sleeping Beauty. I was like, since they did the needle and the spindle, why not just have hypnotism instead? Have the evil wizard use hypnotism as a way of putting them asleep. And that's how it came to be the story, A Lovely Sleep, with that title. And I was like, they're asleep. It's a sleeping spell, and it's gonna be until the kiss happens. And why not have the princess be more jealous of the court wizard that falls in love with him? And she's like, I don't want her around, let's just put her to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Jealousy and envy takes different masks, right? Depending on, where you're at. So, did you grow up on Disney? Were you a
Yes.
yes, okay. Do you what
Of
was your
course.
first Disney movie you remember?
Oh, I would have to say, obviously, it would be Bambi, actually,
Oh.
because I remember
Yeah.
watching that movie over and over, and then I became obsessed with The Little Mermaid. Mean, with The Little
Oh,
Mermaid.
yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And trust me, when I found out about the album A Whole New Sound, I was happy that my all-time favorite band, Newfound Glory, did a part of Your World. I'm like, yes!
Yeah,
And
good soundtracks, right? I mean, Disney
yeah.
was beautiful soundtracks, memorable soundtracks. You can go back in your memory and still hear. I mean, I'm older than you, and I remember the Aristocats and
Oh
Lady
my
and the
God.
Tramp
I
and
really not
Pinocchio and oh my gosh, like
The
they're just
old
part of
soul
my childhood.
animation.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bambi too. Yep. Timeless classics, timeless. Sound of Music, right? I don't know. It sounds really corny, but it's what you
It's
grow up
fine.
in. No, it is fun. You're right.
I mean,
Yeah.
heck, I even sometimes hear some of the music from Tangled in my head sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. Yep, for sure. Wow. So this started in college, you said, right? The idea for this. Wow. Okay. So how long have you been pursuing this series that you just told us about?
I believe, because I remember getting Love Found in Cinders published back around 2017 originally.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's 2025 right now, so it would be around 8 years already because I took some breaks in between.
Right. In 2017, the accessibility in technology was not like it is today. How did you manage to do that back then?
That is a good question. I tried experimenting with using my iPad at different points because I was getting more into iOS and I was starting to get into Android as well. So I was kind of experimenting with Google Docs a little bit here and there.
Right.
And Android was not catching up with Apple as much as it has been until now.
Right,
Because,
right.
of course, you
Yeah.
have the Pixel tablet, which is not as jumpy. And of course, I was starting to learn more about JAWS in a way since I came off of a work experience around that time towards the tail end of 2016. And I was working more on getting more familiar with the different platforms and seeing that how they grew as time went with adding new features. It made things a little bit better because convenient OCR. When that first came out in 2018, I was like, where was this in 2014? I wish I had it back then because
Yeah.
I had not so accessible PDFs to read back in college and it was hard. And now, since we have better accessibility, we know that a lot of companies are still working on it. And I know with the new version of Outlook, a lot of people are liking it and I know Freedom Scientific are trying to work with Microsoft to get that balanced. And things are
Yes.
growing
Yeah,
as
things are
we keep.
happening really quickly, aren't they? You're such a technology instructor. So how do you keep up with all of this new stuff that keeps rolling out and following all the updates? As a user, I find it's pretty time consuming.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. Here's, I just got the Braille Emotion
Oh,
recently
really?
because,
Yeah.
yeah, because the Cue Braille is no longer having its support and there haven't
Oh,
been
right.
many software updates. So I kind of traded that in and I'm like, this is a lot faster and it connects with the Mac a lot more faster because I have a MacBook 2024 because I traded in my mid 2019 last year because. The newer updates were not going to
Oh,
be supporting the mid-20s.
it's isn't it like trading in your old car? It's like, no, I don't
Yes.
want to, but I have to, and
Trust
it's
me,
yeah,
I'm
my
as good with that.
computer is like equivalent to my car, right? I don't drive, but my major piece of whatever communication and all that, it's my computer. I
I
baby
know
my
what you mean.
computer. Yeah.
I think I try to keep up with most of the updates through podcasts because I listen to Access On through the NFB,
Yes.
FS
FS
Cast.
Cast. Yes. That's, by the way, people who don't know, FS Cast is for JAWS and Vispero and Freedom Scientific. Do
And
you use
also is
NVDA or do you train in NVDA? We have some NVDA users here tonight.
I admit, I kind of use it here and there. I tried going for the expert certification. It's too difficult for me.
No, no, I don't use it at all. So I'm with you. I'm like, I know JAWS. I was trained in JAWS and I'm sticking with JAWS. And that's not to say NVDA isn't great, but
It's.
I learned so long ago, I'm like, yeah.
I agree. I mean, I go for the certification through JAWS, and that is like my primary tool in my toolkit.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I go back to the Windows laptop to do things, or I just switch over to the Chromebook, or if I have a student that I need to teach MacBook, that's when I pull out my nice little MacBook.
Oh, so you like your yeah, I have a lot of stuff too. I'm like, well, I could do this, I could use that. I've got all my backups. So, let me ask you a question. When you were a kid, did you think you were going to be a writer? What was your early life like with your creativity and stuff like that?
Oh,
Like, what prepped you to pursue all this?
I did have a very active imagination. I am gonna confess, I used to watch Barney when I was 8 years old, and it grew from there. And I remembered after school, sometimes when I was bored after homework, I'd play with my toys and created stories, playing around with the Barbies and everything, And then later on, I found a mechanical typewriter in our garage, and I started tinkering with that, and it went from there.
Really, you started out on a manual typewriter?
No, like one of those computerized typewriters
Oh, like a
that
Smith
you plug in.
Corona. Yeah. Yeah, I that's where I started out on a Smith Corona with a little tiny screen that
Whoa.
was separate, like and the orange, the amber on the green, like it was weird. Yeah, that was tough, and had a big magnifier in front of it, and but I managed, I managed. I had floppy disks.
Oh man, floppy disks.
I know, that's dating
I
myself.
feel so old. I am getting up in the decades now.
So, what kind of technology were you using in college and leading up to your certifications and stuff?
The only thing that I really have was a Windows laptop for a little while, but I wasn't keeping up with the notes as much until I started using my Brailler a little bit more. And well, that became noisy in classes. And that's when they introduced me to Braille technology, and that my very first Braille note taker was the BrailleSense QWERTY Plus, which used to be known as HIMSS, now it's Solvis. And I went through the major evolution with their note takers afterwards.
Yeah, I went through some of that myself while I was working with my note taker. Yeah, and it just I think I got to the point where I was just like it was in being repaired more than I had it. So yeah, I think that's better now. But I don't use one anymore. I stick with iOS. So
Most of the time I just use the Braille displays to at least show what I'm typing at least.
yes. So, let's talk more about your writing. Like, do you write anything else? What is your like discipline? Like, how much do you write a week? Do you sit down and carve out time? Is it more when you get a chance? I mean, what does your writing life look like?
Well, sometimes it depends on time as since, I'm so busy teaching, but there are times when I have to write reports, of course, due to having new students come in and out of my class. Also, when it comes to writing leisurely, I do write my own blog called Nerdy Chic Universe. I do that on WordPress since it's more accessible.
Yes.
I do that a lot more on the Chromebook, and well, now since I'm gonna admit this, I just started on the next book, Wonderland Hearts, earlier today. So I started writing that on my Surface Go at work.
Is that based on Alice in Wonderland?
Yep, it is.
Oh, can you give us a little bit of a teaser?
Sure. It's
All right.
basically gonna be more in a school setting this time around. We're gonna take a look more at the point of view of the corrupt wizard because it's going to because years ago I also wrote a different story called Sapphire Horizon where they cross over through mirrors into a different world. So that's basically what Wonderland is. It's beyond the mirrors, kind of like Alice Through the Looking Glass almost.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And the white rabbit, Willow, is the one who's controlling it with her magic, and she becomes corrupt because of that, and the Queen of Hearts.
Oh,
So
okay.
we get to see the psychological pain that she goes through. And Alistair, the Alice of the story, is gonna help her out to get over it.
So Alistair, so you change
Yeah.
genders, right?
Yeah.
And interesting. Very interesting. How creative, wonderful. I really admire that. Taking something that, we all traditionally understand, almost like a, I wouldn't say it's a trope, but it's more of a, a foundational element of storytelling. And stories that we've learned very early on, and then you're just spinning them around and making something new. I think that's really creative. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how was it Sydney and Michelle kind of came to be, as you know, the Cinderella and the Belle in their respective books. And Joel is kind of like the Aurora of the story in A Lovely Sleep. So, yeah.
Do you think about, like, I know some authors think about, like, not just the storyline, but they do really character development that's pretty detailed. They have songs that they want to put in their stories, like a like either a storyline or a song list. Do you think about any of those things, like in your development? Like, what's that like?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no, because sometimes I end up having the bad habit of going to writer's block, and it's like, great, I don't know what to do next, but I do step away and try to think what's next. What I want to write, like, you know, step away for a little bit and, you know, give yourself a breather
Do
when
you
it comes
plan,
to.
or do you just write as you go? Is there a rough outline?
Usually I write. I've been doing this on my Braille note for a few years. I actually have a writing notes folder on my SD card. And I kind of jot down notes on any idea that comes to me. Like, I already have ideas I want to do for some of the future stories in the series as I go too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a kind of
But
similar what I do, like with complex stories. I might have an idea of something that doesn't come up for like a long time, but I don't want to lose it, so I write it anyway. And I don't delete anything, right?
I
Keep
try not to
everything.
do that,
Yeah.
but it's like, yeah, sometimes I have to scrap it and start over. But also, I
Yeah.
do sometimes watch the original material. Like this time for Wonderland Hearts, I kind of focus more on the Tim Burton versions of the Alice movies,
Oh, I
because
see. Yeah, because they're a little
yeah,
bit off off kilter.
they kind of have his way of doing things, and I kind of grew up on Tim Burton as well, because Edward Scissorhands, and well, I kind of watched his versions of the movies, and I'm like, I could use some of these ideas, because, for instance, Madame Hatter, or should I say, Madame Hatress, I kind of turned her into a fashion designer for this one, and you had to read the work once it's finished on how she acts crazy.
Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
little off. James and the Giant Peach, wasn't that also? And what else? Well, I'm missing one. A
Wasn't
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes. Also,
Yes,
Beetlejuice.
and Beetlejuice. Yes, that's right.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. When it
Little
comes to
bit
music,
twisted. Yeah.
yeah. But when it came to music, when I wrote A Lovely Sleep, I kind of listened to Celtic metal when I was writing that.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
What do you like to listen to other than Celtic metal?
I'm more of a pop punk type of person because Newfound Glory has been like my all-time favorite band. They're from here in Florida, since I live in Florida. And I've been into them since I got diagnosed with retinitis pigment RP. I can't talk. But when I got diagnosed with RP, my older brother got me into them, and I've been a fan of them since. And I do listen to other pop punk bands like Green Day, Simple Plan, Blink-182, all those other bands.
Right. Have you always lived in Florida?
I was born in Boston and moved down in 1987 to Florida. So I lived in Orlando most of my life. And now I currently live in Ormond Beach because of work.
And where is Ormond Beach? Like, I have no idea. If you could
East
give us a
Coast of
pin.
Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, East Coast
Okay.
of Florida. If
All
you go
right.
west, you hit Tampa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been to
Yeah.
Tampa
Yeah.
and Orlando, but I haven't been haven't
Yeah.
been anywhere else.
There we go. But I also have been to other parts of the United States, like South Carolina, Virginia. Recently went to Atlanta for something back in June, so I
Have
do
you
like good.
ever flown internationally? Have you ever gone outside the US?
Yes, Puerto Rico. Because my family is from there.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Did you go before they had all those storms and everything and were
Yes,
all on?
actually, last time I was there was 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
Yep.
still have family there?
Yep. I still have family on. I think one uncle on my mom's side of the family still lives there, but most of my dad's family aren't there.
What's your favorite Puerto Rican dish?
Oof.
I've got a lot of favorites, but I'm not going to say
I would have to
anything.
say
No,
the roasted pork, aka pernil, which is always,
pernil. Yes.
yes. It's
Oh.
always sacred to us.
Yes. Oh, there used to be a Puerto Rican inspired restaurant in White Plains in New York. And we went there and we had, oh my God, it was so good. I don't know if I'll pronounce this right. So they even had, what is it? It's mofongo, is it?
Mofunga?
Mofonga. Yeah. I never had
Mofunga.
it before.
Oh, it's good.
And the man I went with was from Puerto Rico and he's like, you gotta try this, you gotta try this, you gotta try this, you gotta try this.
Oh,
Oh,
man.
it's lovely. Oh, it was so good. Yeah, good food. Yeah. All right. So let's get back to writing. Like, so do
Yeah.
you have any advice or suggestions for new writers, people that are just kind of starting out, just getting their feet wet? You're an independent author. Many of us here tonight are independent authors or aspire to be. Or have something in the works. What would you say, to them? Anything that comes to mind would be great.
I would say, just keep on writing. I mean, it's one of those things that you could just keep on doing, like keeping creative because you are the storyteller and nobody should tell you how to write your story. You're the one who creates it from your own head and from your own heart as well. Also, another thing too, if you're going to be self-publishing, watch out for the scam publishers because there's a lot out there and they want to take advantage of you. And just watch your back when it comes to that. And also, I would have to say if you're also working with cover artists or someone who's gonna format your book, just make sure you have enough money in your bank account for something like that, because they're gonna be charging you and it ain't cheap sometimes. I just learned that earlier this year.
So would you would could you give us like a round number about your latest book, how much it cost? Just to give people a little bit of a heads up. Are you comfortable with sharing that?
Well, the hardcover, since a lot of people like to get the physical book sometimes, it's around $30 because I'm with Ingram Spark now. And you kind of had to set your prices and you had to kind of set it high enough to get that profit back. Because I've read that on some of the health topics on them, and it's like it makes sense. And I know the ebook is around $15 on Amazon. And let's see.
Did you
I
have to
know it's
pay for
on.
a cover artist?
Yes, I. Well, no, not exactly for this one. Well, actually, the first cover, yes, but it didn't turn out how I wanted it. So I went with somebody else and they did a lot better. And I think after that, I'm going to work with the newer cover artist because I kind of felt like I've had my details screwed up by the first cover artist I worked with, and he didn't put a third backwards fairy tale, for example, and it bothered me. And like, they kept on screwing up the cover so much, I was like, I'm not going to work with this person again.
Oh, good thing to tell everybody. Like, you're not the first person that I've heard had to go through a few bad apples before they found a good one. Did you go through Fiverr or anything, or how did you find your
Yes.
cover? You went through Fiverr. Okay.
First one was Fiverr. Second one, I actually saw them on Threads, actually.
So kind of being keyed into the social media stuff actually is an advantage at the point of, finding your cover artist and stuff like that. So if somebody wasn't so clued into social media and didn't know about Thread or anything, they could still do like a traditional website thing, right? Like
They
they could go on
could.
Fiverr on the web, or is it just an app?
Fiverr is more like for people who create things for other people. It's kind of like their own creative graphic design type platform. It's almost like Etsy, but for people who do more like graphic designs type things.
And what about
And
Thread?
Threads is more like Twitter in a way, but it's kind of like a combination of Instagram and Facebook.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's like a better version of Twitter in a way. So
Yeah,
I'm
so
not calling it
there's a
X.
lot of complex pieces. And I think that's what intimidates a lot of people. It's like, oh, I can write the stuff, but how do I manage this and how do I manage that? And I think,
Another,
yeah,
oh
go ahead.
sorry,
No, go ahead.
another platform that might be also intimidating, but it kind of helps get some funds in is Patreon, which people could create a profile, set a price for memberships and tiers, and it can be a little bit intimidating because you have so many creators on there doing so many things. But most of the time, I use it as a way of not only raising the money, but also keep people informed. Hey, I'm still working on my book type thing.
I know that Patreon was not accessible. Did they fix their accessibility for
Yes,
screen readers? They did.
they
All right.
did.
Yeah, well, that's good. They listened, right? That's part
I
of.
didn't even know there was an accessibility, but I've seen that it's been accessible.
Yeah, no, I think like prior to 2020,
Ah,
there
of
were quite a
course.
few people who, on the user end, couldn't go and make payments and donations and stuff. And then it came to pass that also on the management end, it was also being difficult. So hopefully all that stuff's, you say all, so did you access it through iOS or through
Actually,
PC?
I went through it on Chromebook at first, but I'm able to use it on my PC and iOS.
Okay, excellent. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think at this point it's 7:39 and we can open it to questions. Let's see. Hang on. I think if people want to ask a question, you can just unmute and say your name. Make sure you're not stepping on anybody. And wait for me to acknowledge you and then ask your question. That way we don't have to waste time with the raising the hand button. If you want to unmute, it's Alt A to mute and unmute.
Hi, this is Lisa,
Hi,
and
Lisa.
I would like to know if the books are for a certain grade level, or are they for adults, or both?
I would say, I usually would say around high school going into college could read them, and adults could read them as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
This is Marlene.
Hey, Marlene.
Hey, Annie. Hi, Marinella.
Hello.
I have all three of your audiobooks from Audible, and her audio
Really?
book prices, yes, are way less than the printed ones, unless they were on
Right.
sale. And I find her stories are very lively and fast-paced and
You.
very enjoyable. And I don't really have a question. Oh, I did want to tell you, in case you don't didn't realize, on our website, behindoureyes.org, we have a page where authors can list their blog, and you can get in touch with
Oh.
our web administrator. I can give you the information after if you need it, so that you can list your blog there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Marlene.
And
And your books are
thank
very
you.
delightful.
This is Lisa again. I think your books are also on Bookshare, right?
They are. They're
Yeah.
on Bookshare. They're on Audible, like what Marlene said. Also, if you want to go hard copy, for anybody who has sighted friends, they are available through Amazon as hard copies, same with Barnes and Noble and Books a Million.
Hi, this is Nell.
Hello.
Hey, Nell.
Hi. First, I want to say I have the first book. I just got finished
Okay.
reading it. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. I laughed, I giggled, I yelled at the
Thank
book.
you.
So it was really great. I really enjoyed it. But I had that. Thank you, Lisa, for asking your question, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, is this for children or So yeah, and I have a love of Disney myself, so it was really interesting and fascinating to read a different version of the hero and heroine of those books. Or should I say that the Disney version of the movie versus this book. So it was very, very interesting. One of my questions is character development. I was wondering, how do you do a character profile, or how do you come up with your characters? Because they are unique, and to me, they are not a carbon copy of what Disney has portrayed. So I would love to learn how you came up with your characters.
Oh, that is a good question. I would have to, I would have to say I kind of feel like I come up with them out of my own head. Like, I just look at who I'm kind of inspiring the character from. Like, for instance, when I'm writing Wonderland Hearts Now, for example, when I look at Alice, she was very curious and, kind of smart and everything. While with Alistair, on the other hand, how I developed him, I kind of have him more of a nerd, top student in the academy type idea. And
Right.
he's always curious about his own magic because his magic is going to be like he draws a card and it turns into a dagger. Kind of like doing a deck of cards type idea. And of course, he would step through the mirror throughout the book when he becomes more curious once it closed in his own dorm room. So I kind of look at what the character is originally and just came up with my own idea of how I could switch it in a way. Like, I don't want to be all carbon copy because I had someone who was kind of getting on my case on the writing group on Facebook by saying, "Oh, you're copying off of Disney. They're going to come for you for copyright." I'm like, "No, I'm not. It's not following the same formula." So I
Right.
kind of look at what's original and then kind of give my own twist.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Nell.
No problem.
Anyone else?
Hi, this is Linda,
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
I'm curious to know if your audio version is going to be on Bard.
I kind of looked at that actually, and I know we have a Bard branch at my job since I teach at a place where we teach a lot of visually impaired people. And I tried talking to them about it, and they said, "Oh, we have so many books coming in, and we're trying to look at so many things, so it might come later." But most of the time, I just focus on the audible version because I think that's a lot easier, especially with their process on the website.
Hey Marinella, this is Annie. You can take your Audible files and you can ask the library to digitize them the way they need to. I think they have to do some, so they don't have to record it. You already have the files.
Gotcha.
You can say, hey, I already have the, digital files. I just need, you need to. They might need time to, work, whatever, do whatever they do on their end to make them, formatted for the Bard system. And so you wouldn't be asking them to actually narrate the book. You already have it narrated. And
True.
yeah, and that would be a lot faster.
Okay, I guess I'll talk to them tomorrow then. This
Thanks,
is great.
let me know how it goes.
Thank you, Annie. I
Yep.
actually did that with my book. I contacted them and sent them the audio file. And they said it would be a while, but it would be quicker since I already sent them the audio file.
Right. Yes.
This is Deborah, and I just
Hey,
want
Deborah.
hey, congratulations, Marinella. Very
Thank
good
you.
book. I enjoyed reading it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and much success. And if some of the others haven't gotten their copies, then definitely they need to do so.
Thanks, Deborah.
You're
Thank
welcome.
you.
Anyone else? All right. Marinella, before
Excuse
you give
me.
us, yes?
This is Nell. Can I
Hey,
just
Nell.
say one more thing?
Yeah,
I
sure.
have only one comment. One more comment, should I say? Marinella, I wanted to fight you because you named the counterpart to Cinders, Alexa. And every time the narrator said Alexa, she
I
started talking. So yeah, I
know.
just wanted to pick a little bit about that.
Oops,
You
a
know,
big oops. I don't know. Can't be helped.
just press the mute button on any of those devices. That's my advice. I even told the people that are narrating it, if you have any Amazon enabled devices, please mute, because the princess from the first book, I don't know
Oh.
how that name came to be. It just popped into my head, you know.
You can also change her name so that her name isn't Alexa.
Yes, I've done that to avoid that. Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Now, I mean the device in the device, not in your
Oh
character.
yeah. Oh yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in the device. Mine is Computer.
I was just teasing Marinell. I just thought it was so funny.
Mine is
Oh,
ECHO.
yeah. Don't
It's
worry.
like there are children. I could don't tell them it's time for BED. Yeah. So anyway, so Marinella, if you don't mind, before you give closing remarks, could you just give us your the name of your website or your blog or your contact information, whatever you'd like to share with us for anybody that listens to this in the future.
Sure. My email is Mari Writer, WRITER, cat85 at gmail.com. My blog is nerdy, NERDY, chique, SHIQUE, which is a very unique spelling, universe, and it's nerdychicuniverse.com. My Patreon is patreon.com/ The Writing Loft, and think that's about it.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say before I hand it over to Lisa to tell us about Behind Her Eyes?
I would say just keep on writing, just keep on creating, just get your stories out there. I think a lot more people would be able to read them as time goes on.
Oh, yeah, totally agree. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to have you back for another book, especially your Alice in Wonderland tale. I'm really curious about that because that's one of my favorite
I
books
think
of my
it's almost
childhood.
everybody's, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. So at this point, I think we're going to hand it over to Lisa, our president of Behind Our Eyes, and she's going to let us know a little bit more about Behind Our Eyes.
Okay, well, I just want to congratulate you on your three books and
Thank you.
how what a great idea to start a series that could go on for quite a while. And now I'm going to just talk about Behind Our Eyes, and it's already been mentioned that we have a website, behindoureyes.org, which has a lot of information from meetings and all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to tell you different parts of Behind Our Eyes. There's a writers exchange group which Brad leads, and it has to do with different classes that are free that members create with the help of the Writers Exchange Committee. We have a pilots program for anyone who just joins the group, and they can help them just get familiar with everything that we do offer. We have had three anthologies that have been published. We have a reader's workshop that meets once a month, and you can read a short story or a poem and get comments on the way it's read, so you sort of can have practice reading it. We have our Magnets and Ladders magazine that comes out twice a year, and you can just send your stories or poems, nonfiction, to that magazine, and hopefully you will get published on it. There are different groups involved in helping with that process. Nell once a week has a write-in Friday where we get together and we check in with each other about what we're going to write in the next hour. And then after the hour's over, we talk about what we have done in that time. Of course, there's the book launches. There's the programs on Sunday evenings, usually twice a month. And we have critique groups sometimes. We have speakers sometimes. We have workshops sometimes. Of course, there's the email lists. Besides the general email list, where you can post your writing and get comments. You can also join a critique group. There are several of those. There's a marketing email list also that you can join. And I'm not sure if I missed anything or not.
Oh, I think you got it all.
Good. I didn't want
Wow.
to miss anything this time. But I am very happy to be the president of this organization. I'm proud of all of the things we have accomplished, and I'm glad to hear all the people who are getting to do book launches. So thank you all for being here, and I wish you a good evening.
Thank you, Lisa. This is Annie. I'm going to close the meeting. Have a good night, everybody.
Night.
Night.
Good night.